Okay. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, King Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you as we study through the book of Yahshua, Father, that we are learning and receiving golden nuggets from your word, Father, to show us how to walk our walk, Father, in the days we are living in. In Yeshua's name, amen. Okay. This is going to be only audio. I'm only putting the audio on for this, and it'll be for as well as for our JSI school. So again, we're looking at the book of Yaakov. Again, his name was really Jacob, his Hebrew name Yaakov. Why they translated it James, probably, you know, what they did back then, trying to, you know, get rid of any Jewish roots of the word. But we know that, again, the Brit Hadashah is a very Jewish book. I've even heard, you know, rabbis and those who have come to faith in Messiah, when they read it, they says, you know, this is a Jewish book. Why? Because they understood the Tanakh, and they understood what was, you know, behind these words and the, again, the traditions and the practices. And so again, Yaakov is teaching from, again, a Jewish perspective, a Jewish mindset, when he is, you know, sharing in this letter. So I'm going to read the whole part of James 2, 14 to 26, and then we're going to go through it verse by verse. This is, again, one we see in James, as I had shared before, that what the rabbis used to do, especially when in the diaspora, is it was called responsa, and people would send their questions to the rabbis, and the rabbis would be answering those questions. We see that in the letters of Paul. He is answering questions. He is answering situations and giving wisdom and direction. Yaakov is doing the same thing. He is answering questions. He is giving wisdom and direction for situations that are coming up among believers. And this letter was sent to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. So the different, again, congregations that were scattered abroad. I'm reading from the New American Standard, but I'll be using Tree of Life as well. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, or shalom, be warmed and filled, and yet you do not give him what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead. Again, we can see, again, the topic of this scripture, how many times he's using the word and talking about faith. But someone may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Some people would get offended by that, being called foolish, but James didn't mince words about things. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works as a result of the works. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. So we see in this section, he's dealing with, is it just faith? Is it just works? Or is it both? Faith, again, he says, faith without works is dead. So it's important that we understand, again, what faith is, because this is his topic. This is what he's talking about. And we have to understand, again, faith from a Hebraic mindset. So what is faith? The Jewish concepts of faith. The proper counterpart for the English term faith, as occurring in the expression principles of faith, would be the concept of emunah in Judaism. Again, emunah means trust. While it is generally translated as faith or trust in God, the concept of emunah can more accurately be described as an innate conviction, a perception of truth that transcends reason. Emunah can be enhanced through wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and learning of sacred writings, but emunah is not simply based on reason, nor can it be understood as the opposite of or standing in contrast with reason. Or the word says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So our, again, to grow in faith, we need to study the word, we need to hear the word, we need to speak the word. So I'm just going to share, again, we're just looking at in context with what Yaakov is talking about, are eight definitions of faith. And really the book of Hebrews, which we're going to be looking at those scriptures, really shows us, gives us a beautiful picture of why these men and women were considered great men and women of faith. So number one, substance of things hoped for. Biblical faith gives us hope for our future, even when the circumstances are telling us just the opposite. Our faith can only be based upon faith, the faithfulness of God, past, present, and future. Number two, evidence of things not seen. The word of God is our evidence that what we are hoping for will manifest in his timing, as long as our faith is based upon his word and his promises. Yeah, Hebrews 11, 1, these are several different translations. So I'm going to read all the translations. First is Tree of Life, then Complete Jewish, then Amplified. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of realities not seen. So again, a person of faith doesn't have to see it to believe it. Trusting is being confident of what we hope for, convinced about things we do not see. Again, the Complete Jewish Bible. The Amplified, now faith is the assurance, title deed, confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of the reality faith comprehends as a fact, what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. Number three, receive approval by God. The great men and women of the Bible were great, not because of their intelligence, not because of wealth or power, but because they believed what God said and acted upon it. And Hebrews 11, 2, I'm just going to read the Tree of Life, for by it the elders received commendation. So again, this is why the people we're going to be looking at received commendation from Yahweh was because they acted on what God told them. Number four, creative power of divine works. God spoke and it came into being. Genesis 1, 2, God said. This phrase, which occurs so repeatedly in the account, means will, decreed, appointed, and determining will of God was followed in every instance by an immediate result. Again, is anything impossible for our Father who spoke the world into existence? If you don't believe that, then you're not going to believe the rest of the Bible. Number five, faith produces righteous acts. In Jewish terms, faith is an action. If you believe, you act on what you believe. Faith is an action word. You know, I've heard Jewish people say, you know, they have a lot of, you know, a lot of people tell them we're going to do this and we're going to do that for you. But what they see is like, well, we'll see, your actions will show us if you are really sincere. Because, you know, again, the word talk is cheap. It's the actions that undergird what you have said. Hebrews 11, 4. Tree of Life, the second verse there. But by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain. Through faith, he was commended as righteous when God approved of his gifts. And through faith, he still speaks, although he is dead. Again, he did something. He offered that blood sacrifice, that atonement sacrifice. He put actions to his faith and trust in God. Number six, faith can cancel natural laws. We see that even natural laws had to obey when confronted with the mighty power of God in the lives of great men and of old. Again, we see it in the life of Yeshua as well. He had authority over nature over the storms. We see that when they were in the boat and there a storm, you know, started up and the disciples were fearful, and he just rebuked it. He rebuked, you know, the wind. Why? Because he knew there was a demonic spirit behind it. 11:5. By faith, Enoch was taken so as not to see death, and he was not found because God took him, for he was taken. He was commended as pleasing to God. So again, he was such a man of faith, such a man of obedience to, again, the revealed word of God, that he didn't even see death. He was just taken up to heaven bodily. And if you think of that, you know, there's two men in heaven that are there in the flesh and spirit, and that's Enoch and Elisha. 7, and of course, Yeshua, hallelujah. 7, faith basis for pleasing God. Faith is not a suggestion, but a spiritual law that is to be obeyed. Hebrews 11:6, I'm reading the Tree of Life, which is the second one. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For the one who comes to God must believe that he exists and he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So again, there you see an action as well, that those who seek God are showing their faith. 8, faith is dependent on God's word. 11:7, by faith, Noah, when warned about events not yet seen, in holy fear prepared an ark for the safety of his household. Through faith, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. So here you see Noah. God told him to build an ark with no evidence at all around him. I mean, he's in the desert. You know, it's not like it rains every day, but he believed that when God told him there's going to be a flood, you need to prepare this ark of safety. And again, take two of each kind. And he acted again by faith, believing what God said, for what God said would happen, even though he didn't see it, you know, before his eyes at that time, but he saw it by faith. He saw it based upon what God told him. 9, faith is trusting God in an unknown future. We see that in the life of Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he migrated to the land of promise as if it were foreign, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was waiting for the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Again, based upon what God told him, he left all he knew to follow God. Again, faith and works. Every single one of these men and women of God, their works followed their faith. 10, faith believes what it cannot see. This is key because faith goes beyond sight to the very throne of God and his ability and might to bring about supernatural provision and answers to prayer. 11:11-12. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive when she was barren and past the age, since she considered the one who had made the promise to be faithful. So from one, and him as good as dead, were fathered offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven and as unaccountable as the sand on the seashore. 4:17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he trusted, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence that which does not exist. Hallelujah. 11, faith sees the invisible. Faith is based upon God's vision and that we see through the eyes of God via his word. 11:13-16. These all died in faith without receiving the things promised, but they saw them and welcomed them from afar, and they confessed that they were strangers and sojourners on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If indeed they had been thinking about where they had come from, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they yearn for a better land, that is the heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So again, these were men and women that believed what God said, looking forward to the new Jerusalem, looking forward to the reign of Messiah, even though they didn't see it. Again, this is before Yeshua in their lifetime. They died in faith. They died believing that they would see it, and they welcomed it from afar as if it had already happened. Number 12, faith believes in God's faithfulness and promises. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Yes, he who had received the promises was offering up his one and only son, the one about whom it was said, through Isaac's offspring shall be named for you. He reasoned that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, and in a sense, he did receive him back from there. So again, without hesitation, you know, based upon what God had told him to do, he was willing to offer up Isaac. But we know the whole story. God provided a lamb. Again, this is a type and shadow of Yeshua, because of the covenant Abraham had with Yahweh Elohim, that blood covenant, that Abraham was willing to give him everything, his whole heritage, his whole promise up in Isaac. And God, again, provided a lamb, provided the ram for the sacrifice, because down the road, God would give his son, his only son, as a sacrifice, but he wouldn't withhold him. He would totally give him. Yeshua would totally lay down his life for us. And raised from the dead, because even here, he reasoned that God was able to raise him up from the dead. Number 13, faith is confident in things to come. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even concerning things to come. Again, an action. He put action to his faith by speaking the blessings. By faith, Yaakov, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. He bowed in worship while leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, when his end was near and made mention of the exodus of B'nai Israel, he gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was an extraordinary child and they were not afraid of the king. So again, all their faith was connected as to their actions, to their obedience, to their works. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter and said he chose to suffer mistreatment along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. He considered the disgrace of Messiah as greater riches than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, for he persevered as if seeing the one who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the smearing of the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch them. Again, during Passover, there's something they had to do. God gave them an instruction, and by faith, they sacrificed the lamb. They smeared the blood on the doorpost, which was a sign that that house was protected and death could not touch it. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as if on dry ground. When the Egyptians tried it, they were swallowed up. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Again, Joshua and the people of Israel, as they were crossing over, there's something they had to do. God told them what to do, and by faith, they were obedient. And when they were obedient, those walls came tumbling down. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she welcomed the spies with shalom. Again, she put action to her faith and she was preserved. She was protected and her household. Hebrews 3:6, but Messiah as son is over God's house and we are his house if we hold firm to our boldness and what we are proud to hope. Hebrews 3:14, for we have become partners of Messiah if we hold our original conviction firm until the end. So again, our faith and our works, keeping hold of our faith in Messiah, being obedient to Messiah, that original conviction of who he is, we need, again, take hold of, there's something we need to do. We need to keep hold of that. Stand firm, hold firm. Hebrews 10:35-38. Do not therefore fling away your fearless, this is the Amplified, your fearless confidence, for he has a glorious and great reward. For you have need of patient endurance to bear up under difficult circumstances without compromising, so that when you have carried out the will of God, you may receive and enjoy to the full what is promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one, the one justified by faith, shall live by faith, respecting man's relationship to God and trusting him. And if he draws back, shrinking in fear, my soul has no delight in him. Ephesians 3:12, in him we have boldness and access with confidence through trusting in him. 1 John 3:21, beloved, if our heart does not convict us of guilt, we have confidence, complete assurance, and boldness before God. And we receive from him whatever we ask, because we carefully and consistently keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight, habitually seeking to follow his plan for us. This is his commandment, that we believe with personal faith and confident trust in the name of his son, Yeshua HaMashiach, and that we unselfishly love and seek the best for one another, just as he has commanded us. Number 14, faith that obeys. Hebrews 11:32. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets. By faith, they conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, and made foreign armies flee. Women received their dead raised back to life, and others were tortured after not accepting release so they may obtain a better resurrection. Others experienced the trial of mocking and scourging, yes, and even chains in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were murdered with the sword. They were went around in sheepskin and goatskins. They were destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered around in deserts and mountains and caves and in holes in the ground. And all these, though commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, that so that only with us they would reach perfection. Again, they, even in the midst of all their suffering, again, they were obedient to do what God had told them to do. And again, looking forward to Messiah, and they did see Messiah, because when Messiah died, he went down into Sheol and preached to the righteous ones that were there waiting for him, and again, were resurrected with him when he was, again, resurrected. Hebrews 12:1-2, therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also get rid of every weight and entangling sin. Let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Again, what we have to do. Focusing on Yeshua, the initiator and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and he has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. 15, faith is a lifestyle of trust in God. But my righteous one, again, this is quoting... Malachi, but my righteous one shall live by Emunah, and if he shrinks back, my soul takes no pleasure in him. But we are not among the timid ones on the path to destruction, but among the faithful ones on the path to the preservation of the soul. 16, faith is a shield. I'm going to read the Tree of Life. Above all, take up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Again, something we have to do. 17, faith has hope in the future. Hebrews 3:6, but Messiah as son is over God's house, and we are his house if we hold firm to our boldness and what are proud to hope. 3:12, take care, brothers and sisters, that none of you has an evil heart of unbelief that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day by day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partners of Messiah if we hold our original conviction firm until the end. I'm just going to skip down here. Let me see, did I do 17? Yeah, that was 17. Okay. And 18, faith guarantees answered prayer. Matthew 21, 22, this is the Amplified. Yeshua replied to them, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, if you have faith, personal trust and confidence in me, and do not doubt or allow yourself to be drawn into two directions, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen if God wills it. And whatever you ask for in prayer, believing, you will receive. And I'm going to read the Tree of Life translation, actually, all a little further. Yeshua answered them, Amen, I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only will you have what was done, not only will you do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. But whatever you ask in prayer, trusting, you will receive. And Yeshua answered and said to them, have faith in God. Amen, I tell you, again, this is actually a repeat from Mark. Mark is actually saying the same thing as Matthew. Amen, if I tell you, someone says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but trusts that what he says is happening, so it shall be done for him. So just some Jewish thoughts on faith. I know I've shared this before, but again, the Hebrew way of teaching is repetition, repetition, repetition. Hallelujah. So it never hurts to hear it again. Jewish thoughts on faith. With faith, there are no questions. Without faith, there are no answers. The Chofetz Chaim. 2, faith is not a series of theorems, but a way of life. Shmuel Hugo Bergman. 3, man can never be happy if he does not nourish his soul as he does his body. Rabbi Menachem Schneerson. 4, faith is the root and foundation of all holiness. Nachman of Breslov. 6, faith is the essence of Torah. Mikhar Hapanim. 6, there is no love without total faith. Noam Hamedot. Again, these are quotations from well-known rabbis. 7, the righteous man shall live by his faith. I'm sorry, I said Malachi, it's Habakkuk 2:4. 8, faith is beyond intelligence and perception. Shneor Salmon of Tanya. 9, there is nothing greater than faith. Mikfer Hapanim. And 10, no man is rewarded because God owes it to him, but God grants reward out of his grace. Moshe ben Ezra. So we see again, faith is a very Jewish concept. From the beginning of Torah all the way through to the book of Revelation or Hikgalut. So now we're going to go look a little closer into these verses and some of the Jewish Messianic commentaries. So the question is, faith or works or both? Again, James 2:14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? So just a little personal story. When we started this congregation almost 18 years ago, and actually the ministry started, you know, God called us into this about 25 years ago, but we had started a Bible study and the Ruach spoke to our heart, no, you need to take it out of the house. You need to go out there, go see, rent a church, you know, go out there and with a step of faith and obedience to God and do it. So, you know, I share, well, you know, we had the vision written down and it looked good on paper. Well, now the Ruach says, okay, now it's time to go and do what you've been studying and preparing to do. So we had to do something. We had to find a place. Again, we had no financial support. We were just using, you know, our own money, trusting God that he would lead us and guide us. And 18 years ago, he did. And the congregation is still going strong, but every day is a walk of faith. Every day is an act of obedience. We just said, okay, God, I did it. I'm done now. No, every day we walk by faith and obedience. This is a commentary by John McKee, his James commentary, who we know personally. James 2, 14 to 26 has been a very difficult section of this letter for many Christians to read, contemplate, and interpret throughout history, as it can be improperly approached from the perspective that human actions merit eternal salvation. Sometimes this has been caused by various lay readers only pulling out a verse or clause or two here or there, and not expelling a huge amount of consideration or attention for the issues actually being discussed by James or Yaakov, or for that matter, some more involved approaches to the topics of righteousness and justification, which might not involve a remission of sins at all. In 2:14 to 26, it is most important to be aware of how Yaakov posits the position of a person who purports to have faith, yet such self-claimed faith is not one which has been followed by the proper works or actions. This particularly regarded the works and actions of kindness, mercy, and service towards those in need, rooted within the high ethical and moral imperatives of God's Torah. This is the complete Jewish New Testament commentary. Opponents of the New Testament faith claim that it offers cheap grace, quote, cheap grace, again, opponents, salvation by merely affirming in one's mind certain facts or ideas about Yeshua, or through merely feeling good in one's heart towards God without doing good deeds. This passage is the classic disproof of that allegation. So again, anybody could say, oh, I'm a person of faith. Oh, I have great faith. But he's saying, well, show me you have great faith by your walk, by your works, by being obedient. In its context, verses 1 to 13, the topic of faith, quote, the faith of our Lord Yeshua, is introduced in verse 1 and mentioned again in verse 5. The first 9 verses demonstrate that faith is inconsistent with showing favoritism. Again, we studied that a couple weeks ago. While verse 12 to 13 implies that faith necessarily produces mercy, the present passage expands these ideas into general principle that genuine faith proves itself by being expressed in good works. Thus, mental or emotional faith by itself, verse 17, or faith alone, verse 24, unaccompanied by the right kinds of actions is dead, verse 17 and 26, and barren, verse 20, no better than the so-called, quote, faith demons have, because they know the reality of the spirit world, but only by actions is faith made complete and capable of giving God ground to declare a person righteous. Again, Hebrews 11 really points out what faith is through the lives of the great men and women of God who came before us, and in including the apostles. Again, they showed their faith by their obedience, by their works according to Torah, not that they were thinking, oh, if I have enough works, I'll be saved. No, it's because they are saved, because they were saved by faith, because they walked by faith, works should naturally accompany and follow the believer. The Greek word translated faith in this passage is pistis or pistis, usually rendered, quote, trust in the Jewish New Testament. Again, he just gives some quotes regarding Acts 3:16 and Galatians 2:16. The word faith is used here because Yaakov is really speaking about not all of trust, but just part of it, the confessional intellectual part. So again, he's saying, well, you have intellectual faith, but you're not showing what you really believe by your works. Yaakov brings this about by using restrictive modifiers as such faith, literally the faith, faith by itself, verse 17, faith without actions, verse 26, faith alone, verse 24. Moreover, he points out specifically that actions must be added to this limited part of faith in order for faith to be made complete. Yaakov is sometimes mistakenly thought to contradict Shaul, particularly Ephesians 2:8 and 9 and Romans 3:28. This is why Martin Luther regarded the book of Yaakov as a right straw epistle. And I've heard other pastors, comment on James and saying, oh, it's too legalistic and You know, he's talking about works. Well, again, if you don't understand the Hebraic background of the Bible, if you don't understand where James is coming from, if you haven't rightly divided the word of God, you're going to rightly make wrong assumptions. Nothing could be further from the truth. Yaakov is in full agreement with Shaul. Once it is understood that the, quote, faith alone with Yaakov decrees as barren and dead is only part of the genuine faith or trust, with Shaul authoritatively declares is sufficient. So again, they complement one another. Again, all the writers in the Bible really complement one another, which is a miracle in itself. You have, you know, 66 people from different backgrounds, different educations, different, you know, time periods, all writing, and the book reads as one. In Ephesians, after Shaul writes, "For you have been delivered by grace through trusting, not by your own actions," Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, he affirms the importance of good works by adding, "For we are of God's making, created in union with Messiah Yeshua for a life of good actions already prepared by God for us to do." So here he's in agreement with James or Yaakov. Yes, you're not saved by works, you're saved by faith, but your faith brings about good works and good and actions for the kingdom. Your faith is obedience to the call that God has placed upon your life. Your call, and part of that faith is, if you're called into the ministry, then you prepare for the ministry. If, you know, whatever call God's called you to do, you prepare for it. You prepare yourself because you believe that God has called you to do this. You know, you could sit around until Yeshua returns and, "Yeah, I know I'm called to the ministry. Yeah, I know God told me to do this. Yeah, I know. But if you never do it, if you don't take the actions, if you don't do the work required, you're never going to fulfill what God's called you to do. In Romans, the problem is largely one of translation. The King James Version, which is typical, renders Romans 3:28, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." Two false prepositions are frequently inferred. One, a person's good works are irrelevant and do not affect God's decision to count him righteous. And two, faith alone, understood either as mental belief in a creed or some other inner emotional state in relationship to God, is all that is needed for salvation. The Jewish New Testament, by bringing out clearly the true sense of Romans 3:28, makes it impossible to reach either of these conclusions. And this is his translation. "Therefore, we hold the view that a person comes to be considered righteous by God on the ground of trusting, which has nothing to do with the legalistic observance of Torah commands," which he's referring to are the rabbinical legalistic commands. He's not referring to the written Torah. He's written to, regarding to the additional commands the rabbis added on. "It is not without significance that Yaakov, in his argument that genuine faith must result in good works, employs the identical verse about Avraham, Genesis 15:6, which again we write in Hebrews 11, that Shaul uses in Romans 4:3, to prove that the complete sufficiency of faith without legalistic observance. Yaakov and Shaul are in complete harmony. Both understand genuine faith as consisting of an inward acknowledgement of God's truth, which is expressed and flows outward in the form of good works." You know, the Ruach just brought back to my mind when we go back to here, where he says to prove the complete sufficiency of faith without legalistic observances. You know, that's the teachings where people say, well, if you don't do this, you're not saved. If you don't keep the Shabbat exactly this way, you're not saved. If you don't know how to pronounce Yeshua's name, you're not saved. If you don't know how to say God's name, you're not saved. Again, that's legalism. That is not based upon the word of God, and it brings condemnation, you know. And some people even go as far to say, well, if you called on Jesus, you weren't really saved. It's like, again, really? It's like, you don't think that Yeshua knows who he is when you're calling upon him? Again, that's legalism that people who are ignorant of the word, who have never studied the word, and they want to judge people according to their standards instead of, you know, finding out what God's standards are. Again, Yaakov and Shaul are complete harmony. Both understand genuine faith is consisting of an inward acknowledgement of God's truth, which is expressed and flows outward in the form of good works. Yaakov's point is that if good works are subtracted from genuine faith, what is left is barren and dead. Shaul's point is that if legalistic observances are added to or substituted for genuine faith, that result too is barren and dead. Again, when we celebrate the feast, we need to be celebrating them in faith and in worship. Not, okay, I'm going through the rituals. Okay, God, thank you. I please you. No, we have to have an attitude of worship, an attitude of understanding that these feasts speak of Messiah's first coming and his second coming. Again, knowing that they point to Messiah, they speak of salvation, they speak of redemption, they speak of forgiveness. We're just not doing this, just to, like some people before, if they go to a church just on, I'm just using this example, Christmas or Easter, and they think, oh, that's all I need. Hey, the mafia goes to church on Christmas and Easter, but no, it's a heart attitude, and that heart, when you have a heart filled with love for the Father, filled with love for Yeshua, filled with love for the Word, your works are going to naturally follow because of your love for the Father and your love for his people and your love for bringing the Word of truth to the Word. Okay, again, not in Romans, Ephesians, or anywhere else does Saul demean the importance of works in the life of faith. On the contrary, such verses as Galatians 5:6, 1 Timothy 5:8, and Titus 3:2 express the importance of expressing one's faith through good works. Indeed, in a fully Jewish way, his letter contains whole chapters full of advice on which good works to do and when and how to do them. In verses 14 to 20, Yaakov employs deep irony. After giving an example of the shallow intellectual faith that it can ignore obvious human need, verses 14 and 17, he shows up the inability of such, quote, faith to prove its existence, verse 18, characterizes it as no better than that of demons, verse 19, and calls the person who holds such faith foolish. Again, he doesn't mince any words. It's like, okay, you say this, but what are you doing? But then he asks whether such a person might be willing to learn something, verse 20, and assuming the possibility of a positive answer, leaves irony behind to offer two examples from scripture, Abraham and Rahab. Again, we read that in Hebrews 11, demonstrating that true faith must be accompanied by actions. And I know all of you felt the same way when you were, think back about that time when you were first born again. You first, acknowledge Yeshua as your Messiah. You became a new creature in Messiah. Old things were passed away. All things became new. You just wanted to serve him whatever way you could. You just had such a love full of him. And that's where Revelation warns, the believers that, he rebuked the one congregation that they had lost their first love, that they had forgotten who was the one that redeemed them. They have forgotten the one who loves them, and their love had grown cold. James 2:15 and 16, if a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in shalom, keep warm and well fed, but you do not give them what the body needs, what good is that? We cannot be indifferent to those in need and claim to be followers of Messiah. The word says we're to take care of our households. We're getting the household of faith. If we know a brother or sister starting first within our community, he has a need, then we need to help, help them in whatever way we can. Again, that's the importance of, that's the purpose of tithing. That's the purpose of giving offerings. That's the purpose of supporting your local congregation. So we have the means, we have the funds to do what we need to do to help others. James 2:17 and 18. So also faith, if it does not have works, is dead by itself. But someone will say, well, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by works. So again, people who don't understand the mindset of Yaakov, the Hebrew mindset, think that he's saying, well, you're not saved unless you do works. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, if you are saved, works are going to follow. Again, faith without works is dead. Works without faith is dead. Neither is complete in itself. It is like fire burning without fuel and fuel burning without fire. One can say that it is possible, but it is not. It is contrary to the creative makeup and the laws that govern fire and fuel. Again, they work hand in hand. They go hand in hand. True faith is always accompanied by actions. Again, James 2, 19 to 26, we're getting to the end here. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. So again, you know, here at prison, well, I'm, you know, bragging, well, hey, I know God is one. I have faith in Jesus. Well, the demons know he's one as well and shudder. Why? Because they know there's a judgment coming for them. They know who Yahweh is. But do you want to know, you empty person, that faith without works is dead? Wasn't Abraham, our father, proved righteous by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Again, we are going back to Hebrews 11. You see that faith with work together with his works, and by the works, his faith was made complete. So again, they had, the Jewish people, you know, we're speaking about the time of Yeshua when Yaakov was teaching, he had, again, a great, you know, a comprehension of these great, again, men and women of God who came before them, and their faith was not stagnant. Their faith had feet to it. Their faith had action, and that is why they were considered righteous, because they believed God and they acted on their faith. You know, you can mentally, agree that, yeah, you know, Yeshua, I believe Yeshua is the Messiah. Yes, I believe that he was a real person. You know, I believe, but you never bow your knees. You never repent. You never say, Father, I need a redeemer. I cannot save myself. All the mental assent that you have is not going to save you. You have to put actions to that acknowledgement. You have to speak with your mouth, again, that confession of Yeshua as your Lord, your master, your boss. And you submit at that moment, you are submitting your whole life to him to fulfill what he has called you to do, to walk in obedience. If he says, I want you to do this, then you're supposed to do it. Or I've called you to do this, then you need to do it. Again, faith without action, without, you know, works is dead. This is what the scriptures say. Again, verse 23, the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. How did he believe God? By doing what God told him to do, getting up and leaving the Ur of the Chaldees, getting up, you know, and leaving that paganistic land and submitting himself to God's word, through whom his loins would come the promised people and the Messiah. You see that a man is proved righteous by works and not by faith alone. Again, they go hand in hand. And likewise, wasn't Rahab the prostitute also proved righteous by works when she welcomed the messengers and sent them out another way? Again, she saw, she heard, again, all of Jericho heard what was going on with Israel, how they were, you know, conquering lands, how God miraculously delivered them. And she's the only one that acted on that. She's the only one when the Hebrew spies came, that she protected them because she believed that God was going to give Jericho over to them. And God honored their faith by her actions and saved her and her whole household. And she even married into the house of Israel. And she's even in the lineage of Yeshua. Last verse, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Only the body dies at the time of physical death. This is caused by the soul and spirit leaving the body. The body returns to dust, and the soul and the spirit of the righteous go to heaven to wait resurrection. 2 Corinthians 5:8, Philippians 1:21 to 24, Hebrews 12:23, and Revelation 6:9 to 11 attest to that. The soul and spirit of the wicked go to hell and await the resurrection. That's something you don't hear preached anymore. Luke 16:19 to 31, Isaiah 42:9, Revelation 20:11 to 15. The soul and spirit are spiritual and immortal. They cannot go back to dust. So faith without works is dead also, just as surely as the inner man leaves the body at physical death and is no longer with the body. So faith without works is dead, separated, and is powerless. So again, they go hand in hand together. And this is something, again, we're living in the days where we need to be strong in our faith, strong in the word, because there's a lot of lies and deception going out there. There's a lot of fear, but we know where we're going. We know where we came from. We know where we're going. We know that we win in the end. We know that we triumph in Messiah Yeshua. But in the meantime, we all have a race to run. In the meantime, we all have an assignment. And you can say until Yeshua takes you home, well, I have faith and I have faith. When we stand before him, he's going to say, did you do what I told you to do? You know, I called you. This is what your ministry could have been like. This is what I had called you to do. This is what, the anointing that was upon your life, but you never took action. It doesn't mean that, again, that person isn't saved, but it's like, we don't want to stand before the Father and, in the judgment seat and hang our head and say, well, Yeshua, yeah, I know, but, I was afraid to take that step of faith. Again, faith, this congregation would never exist unless we took that action, faith with action. The school, again, would have never existed without faith and action. The Judaic Studies Institute, the books written would never take place without faith, knowing that God wanted us to do this, and action. Again, they go hand in hand. And this is what, again, Yaakov is pointing out. Again, nine times in this segment of Yaakov, he uses the term, he's talking about faith. He's drumming it into him. You have to understand what faith really is. Don't tell me you have faith when I hear that there are brothers and sisters in need and you're not helping them. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. You know, he outright, today people would get very offended by Yaakov. they would probably get very offended, by Yeshua, the apostles, and the writings of the Brit Hadashah, the whole Bible, but they are called, again, what came to my mind is what he told Jeremiah, you are not to fear their faces, but whatever I tell you to speak, you are to speak. So again, fear is the opposite of faith. Fear keeps you from doing what God wants you to do, because HaSatan doesn't want you to help people, doesn't want you to preach the word, doesn't want you to teach the word, doesn't want you to be successful so you could help fund the gospel, so you can help other people. And again, I love this study in the book of Yaakov, because there is so much meat here that people pass by. So much to learn that people pass by. But, praise God that God is speaking to our hearts in these days. He's putting a hunger and thirst in our hearts for righteousness, for a hunger for his word, for a hunger for study, for a hunger to be obedient. Just as Isaiah said, Hineni, send me. When God says, who can I send? Who will answer the call? And he says, Hineni, send me. Again, these men and women of God were great because of their faith, and their actions went hand in hand. Alvino Mocano, our Father, King Father, we thank you for your holy word today. We thank you, Father, that this is a day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, put that boldness in our hearts, Father, to be obedient to do your word, Father, and never be satisfied, Father, with faith, just faith alone, but faith and works, Father, because that's what it takes together, Father. They go together hand in hand. And Father, I thank you for the word today. I thank you for every person, Father, that are online today and hearing your word, and that Ruach HaKodesh, that you are even speaking to people as the words were going forth. You are giving people revelation. You are giving people confirmations. You are giving people repentance, Father. And I thank you for it, for your word is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, Father, because you know each of us individually. You know the very hair on our heads are numbered. Father, you know what you have called us to do, and you know what our ability is, Father. May we be bold, Father, to do and to put feet to our faith, to see the kingdom brought forth and our Messiah, Yeshua, return. Bo Yeshua, return in Yeshua's name. Amen. Hallelujah.